Really, a memory care is the exact same thing as an assisted living. They will go back and forth. There's not a white area and a black area. It's all a gray area. You will have people in the assisted living side that have memory loss. If you are 95 years old, whether you have a diagnosis for dementia or not, you're still gonna have memory loss, right? That's just part of aging. Welcome back to Assisted Living Investing with me, Brett Schottkavis. I am your host and guide on your journey to create financial freedom and take back your time freedom through the vehicle of assisted living. My wife and I own our own assisted living mansion. We build these, we scale these. We are doing this now in this niche and love this space. And I have been in multiple types of real estate, and I think that this is the best way to get to your goal of financial freedom. So today we are talking about memory care. Memory care is one of those scary terms that people like throw out there. And I want to shed the light on who should be doing memory care and who should not. If you are getting into this space or if you're existing, should you have a memory care service or option for your grandmas and grandpas, or is it not for you? Who is it a good fit for and who it is not? So we're going to unpack this today. Before I got into this space, I was pretty confused on what the difference was between assisted living and memory care. Is there a hard line between one and the other? Or do they kind of blend together? Can you offer assisted living and memory care together in the same home or the same building? And as you're doing your market research, you go to the big facility, right? And it would be like 150 beds. And maybe 100 of those beds were independent living. They were more apartment style. And then you had perhaps 60 of them were assisted living. And then they'd have another section, like their lockdown wing, right? You had the big metal doors with the magnet locks, and you go inside of that one, and that's the memory care. And that was always a scary one. Like, I literally hear people saying, I don't want to get to that spot, right? Like, oh, that's when you're really in trouble, and you're in the lockdown memory care wing. And so I think it's common that people will split this into kind of three different sections, right? And then there's nursing home, which is a totally different section. But of the big facilities, they'll have the independent, the assisted living, and the memory care, which leads people to believe that there is a distinction between assisted living and memory care, that they're totally different. And I want to unpack this today because in my experience, I don't think they're very different at all. We have assisted living and memory care in our same mansion, side by side, intermingled, and it's going great. There's no issue with mixing that. So let's unpack this today. What actually is memory care from a practical operations side? What does that mean? So the biggest thing that stands out to me between assisted living and memory care is the lockdown of the doors. And it's really a safety issue for them because they don't know where they are at. They don't know what decade it is, and they will start wandering down the street in their underwear. And that is a legitimate concern for families, for you, if you're going to run these things. So if you're going to have memory care, one of the things that you definitely will need to have is some type of locking mechanism. So we have magnet locks on our doors. And actually, if you want to go and look at our virtual tour, you can go to Platinum Resort Assisted Living and hit the virtual tour button there. You can walk through our entire mansion, but take a look at the doors. On the inside and the outside, there's key code buttons and there's actually magnets on the top. The other difference you may see in the physical building is the room sizes. Memory care may have smaller bedrooms because realistically, those grandmas and grandpas, they don't need a ton of space. They don't need a kitchenette. They don't need a mini fridge or a microwave. They're not going to use any of those items. They're going to need more care and they're going to do fewer things on their own. So in addition to the building changes, there's a lot more care needs that are required for memory care. And this is where I think people get scared. If you're new to this, can I provide the service, the ADLs for memory care? And what actually is it? I don't really know. Because when people have dementia or Alzheimer's, they're going to need more care. And some of these things are medication management. There's definitely going to be new and different medications that people are taking for memory care or dementia. It is a disease that continues to take away their ability to function in multiple areas of life. And because of that, their doctors will continue to adjust their medications. So there's going to be more interaction between you, the family, and the doctor as far as medication management, as far as care plans. These type of residents may need more frequent adjustments to their care plans and medication. The other thing that is most common and that scares people are behaviors. And that's an industry term for kind of outbursts, things that are not normal. People who are yelling or screaming or repeating the same word over and over and over again. And these things are kind of common as you decline and have memory care issues. But these problems are not that hard to overcome. But just because someone has behaviors doesn't mean that they're a bad fit for your home. We have most of our residents have some type of dementia, and our home is peaceful, it's chill, no one's yelling, no one's screaming. It's very go with the flow. There's people with memory care issues, and there's people that don't have memory care issues, and they're in the same home, sitting side by side at the dining room table, having activities together, and it's really not a problem. I don't think that they need to be separated, with one wing being assisted living and one wing being memory care. So a lot of the big facilities will split it between memory care on this wing and assisted living on this wing. The memory care people are in the lockdown, and it's really not necessarily who has dementia and you're in the memory care unit. It's really about the problems, the behaviors, because when you go to the big facilities, they will have people who have dementia or memory care issues that are living in the assisted living side, and they're living over there just fine. Because they are not wandering, they're not trying to elope, they're not having behavior issues. But the people that do have behavior issues or are a wander risk, then they go behind the locked door. Then they have higher care needs and they are kind of kept to themselves as kind of like the bad kids. So this is where I get down on the big smelly facilities because I don't think they're giving proper medication management. People who are having behaviors, they're having outbursts, and they're scratching, they're yelling, they're screaming, things like that, it's really poor medication management. They need to have more frequent visits with the doctor, with the family, get everyone on the same page, adjust the care plan, because really the power of medication can find a sweet spot where the resident is calm, peaceful, not sedated, and really enjoying the last couple years of life where they're not in a vegetated state and they're not aggressive. So to kind of simplify this is now the way that I think of it after running a memory care for several years. Really, a memory care is the exact same thing as an assisted living. They will go back and forth. There's not a white area and a black area. It's all a gray area. You will have people in the assisted living side that have memory loss. If you are 95 years old, whether you have a diagnosis for dementia or not, you're still gonna have memory loss, right? That's just part of aging. So there is a lot of people that are kind of in the gray area. They're a little bit mixed up. And that's why I really like having the assisted living and the memory care together. I like offering this as an additional service. So I offer assisted living and memory care services at Platinum Resort. So let me tell you who I think should consider offering a memory care and who should not. Really, this is the way I break this down. My whole niche of what I do is I want to solve a bigger problem. And when I solve a bigger problem, I am charging a higher amount. I want to compete with the big smelly facilities. I want to offer everything that the luxury new construction big facility can offer, but I want to do it better, more intimate, and in a smaller mansion style of a home. And really part of that is memory care. So as I am trying to solve a bigger problem for the family, that problem is really end of life care. I am here for that last 2, 3, 4, 5 years of life. You're not coming to my assisted living when you're 75. You're coming when you're 85 or 95. You've already been through the apartment. You've already maybe been through the funnel of the big facility in their assisted living side. And then you have declined. Something has happened and you're ready for more additional care. And that's a bigger problem that I'm trying to solve. And that's really my niche. So this bigger problem, this end of life problem, I think has two sides to it. And the solution is the same, but here are the two problems. One is a physical problem with your body. You are literally not able to walk anymore. You can't toilet yourself anymore. You're not able to physically feed yourself anymore. You need a lot of help physically. Your mind may be completely there. You may be able to talk and communicate and say what your needs are, but you physically can't do it. So therefore, you need higher levels of care. You need more help with your ADLs. And that is something I want to solve. On the other side of this problem, it may be a mental problem, a memory care problem, because you may have your physical abilities there. You may be able to walk, toilet yourself, you may be able to eat, but you are not able to communicate anymore. You don't know where you are, you don't know who you are, you have dementia or Alzheimer's, and somebody needs to be there to provide extra help for your ADLs. So practically, from an operational standpoint, if your niche is end-of-life care, solving a bigger problem, the solution is the same. The solution is higher levels of care. Your caregivers, your staff are doing more for these grandmas and grandpas. It doesn't matter if they have memory care or they need additional physical needs, the solution is the same. It's more care. It's more help toileting. It's more help showering. It's more help feeding. All of these things are the same solution to two different problems. And if I have my staff who I've trained to have the same solution, I can bring on both problems. So for me, my niche is a luxury 16 bed, all private rooms. We have two managers that run the floor. We have two caregivers around the clock that are awake, and we have a chef that is in the kitchen. So I have the staff, I have the infrastructure to solve a bigger problem. So why wouldn't I also want to solve this problem of memory care if my staff is literally doing the exact same thing? Their job duties do not change. It's just people who have a physical problem versus people who have memory care needs. So there's two big advantages to offering memory care services. Number one, it is more expensive to offer memory care than non-memory care. Literally, I find it's about $1,000 a month more if you have memory care services. If you're gonna have the same building in the same location, offer the same pay to your staff because you're already solving an end-of-life problem, then it is literally probably about $1,000 per room more in income. Your expenses are not really going to change. People will argue, oh, you have to pay your staff more because of memory care. No, not really for me, because I'm already paying my staff more because they're already solving an end-of-life problem. They're already doing a lot of work, right? They already have residents who have physical problems. Now I'm just bringing on residents who have memory care problems. It's the same workload. So if I am increasing my income by, say, $16,000 a month without increasing my expenses, you know what that is? That's all profit. That is a life-changing niche. That's why I think it is a must that you have to offer memory care if you're going to be in the end-of-life space, if this is your niche. And for me, I have the staffing to handle it. I have the managers to take care of the medication, talk to the doctors. I have the caregivers who are out of the kitchen. They are not cooking. They are able to handle the higher levels of ADLs that our grandmas and grandpas need. But if I didn't have those layers of staffing and insulation, then it would be a bad fit for what I want to do. So let's talk about that. Who is this a bad fit for? I think that if you are not in the end-of-life care business, if your grandmas are more golden girl style, if you have a license type that does not allow you to have end-of-life care, then really you shouldn't bring on memory care because you are solving a bigger problem, right? Or if you are already solving a problem on the physical side, then it makes sense to solve it on the memory care side. But if you're not, if your residents have a low care need, then I wouldn't add this on. I don't think it would be a good fit. Also, if you have maybe six beds and you want to do all memory care and you're only running one caregiver and really not a manager, that might not be a good fit either. You just may not have the capacity staffing wise when you have somebody with behaviors to handle two things at once. You need some layers of staffing to be able to do this right. So to wrap this up for you, if you are already solving an end of life problem, if you're taking care of people who have physical high needs, high levels of ADLs, then I would consider also solving the memory care problem. From your caregiver's perspective, their job will not be that much different. From the manager or the owner's perspective, there will be more legwork with the doctors, with the medication managers, with the care plans, talking to the families, but that doesn't have to be your job. That's not my job, that's my manager's job. So I'm able to serve more people, help with memory care when really there's not really any great memory cares around in my area. They're all the big, nasty facility, and they're literally behind the scary metal door that's locked, and it's like, oh gosh, it's like going into hell when you go there. So if you can solve this problem and do it well, do it more intimate, do it family style, people will love that, and there is such a need for this space. But perhaps you're just too small. You have the RAO method and you don't have the multiple staffs or the chef or the management, and it just may be too much for you as the owner, then perhaps that's not your model. Perhaps this is not a good fit for you. Well, thank you for joining me today. If you want additional information on how to get started in building your own memory care, check out our free foundations course. I lay out the entire blueprint step by step through 15 different modules on how you can get started. It's entirely free. Check it out in the comments below. I'll see you next time.